Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're going to have a visit here with our good friend Wayne Cruz, the Director of Technology Studies at the Cato Institute. Wayne's been a member of our Brain Trust a long time, even before he was with the Cato in another organization. We found him and wanted to make sure that he made himself available to share his insights and his research with us. Wayne, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure, Jim. Good to be with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show. Wayne, let's talk about some of the new spam rules that are going on. The new ones that you want to talk about today involve fax machines, don't they?
Yeah, Jim, I hope you didn't mind, but we talk about 10,000 commandments and mm-hmm. all kinds of regulations.
Right.
You show all
we
the time.
We did this the last time you were here.
Exactly.
Like a month,
and this came to my attention the other day. You know, we're not getting into this do not call list that the FCC is running now, but as a part of that body of regulations, I got word the other day about a new rule on faxing. Now, if you're a small business, you know, it can kind of cut both ways. You don't want to get a bunch of unsolicited faxes.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you have a legitimate body of customers who want to hear from you, even in that case, this is going to cause some problems if this comes to pass. But basically, what's supposed to happen is around August 25th, these rules are going to become effective. But, of course, due to the paperwork requirements, a lot of regulations, as you know, have separate paperwork analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to take place as well. So it won't happen by the 25th. But new rules apply, and this applies to all persons and entities who are sending faxes, according to the information I got. But any unsolicited faxes that have any kind of advertising material or any kind of indication of commercial availability of any products or
mm-hmm.
goods or services cannot be sent unless you've got the signed written consent of the recipient.
Wow.
So that means what these rules do is even if you already have an existing business relationship in order to send faxes, which is the typical rule because you're already not supposed to send bulk unsolicited faxes.
Right.
There needs to be a pre-existing business relationship. You know, they've bought from you, they've called
mm-hmm.
you, requested information. Now none of that counts.
Huh.
Now
You mean just a normal opt-in doesn't count?
The opt-in doesn't count by verbal. Anybody, even if you've already got a fax list, you're not supposed to send, according to these rules, you're not supposed to send faxes anymore unless you get the written consent of those who are receiving that fax.
Why would they make the fax requirements more than the email requirements?
That's a good question. Mainly it's because the FCC already has some authority under the earlier fax rules that were passed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how this is taking place. But the penalties can be really stiff, too. They can be up to $11,000 for every violation.
Wow.
This can create some... It's just you really got to be on your toes. I would suggest that... small businesses definitely look into this a little bit more and see exactly what it's going to entail, because in my judgment, it's a tremendous potential burden for a lot of companies, because when you have these private rights of action like this and you have these potential FCC penalties,
right,
it can be a real problem.
Well, let's talk about why the fax spam, how it's different from mm-hmm. from direct mail and from regular email spam. The thing is, if you want to send me a catalog I didn't ask for, I may apologize to the postman for having to bring all the stuff that I didn't ask for, but basically I trash it and it's hauled away.
That's
if I don't want it. If you send me an email spam, it's in my way. It's a lot of trouble. It's irritating and it causes other problems for me. But basically I trash it and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But if you send me a fax that I didn't ask for, and if enough of you do that, then you could cost me $40-$50 a month.
Oh, that's definitely true. That's why I say it's important, because it cuts both ways. Businesses need to be aware. There are problems there with the payment for getting a fax, but on the other hand, if you already have fax list that you would like to send to or that you have pre-existing relationships with, this could stand in the way of that.
Well, see,
so that's what you have to be careful of.
The point that I guess the point that I'm making about the fax thing, the reason I think this is an important thing to talk about, is because if somebody sends me, every small business is not going to send me a a direct mail. They're not going to spend the money. Most small business owners are not doing spamming. The spamming is done by the spammers. They're more sophisticated.
Yeah.
And that's basically all they do for a living. They don't have a regular job. But you and I both know that restaurants and travel agents and car dealers and people like that, all they got to do is get a directory from the Chamber of Commerce, or go to any of the listings where a fax number would be available. And put that into their mass fax system, which they can buy,
and then clog your machine.
And exactly, it was a time when we were getting a different piece of fax, a different fax, one sheet from a travel agent. And see, the thing is, if you notice, the fax spam, the spam that comes in over your fax machine, is never text; it's always photographs.
Right, right.
And that just sucks the ink
out of your
cartridge.
Well, you definitely want that kind of stuff ended. You want that stopped.
And we would tell them that. We would call them and say, "Please don't send this to us anymore." So, but my point is that this is an area that regular small business owners could be violating and not know it.
That's true. They very well could, and especially under these new rules, obviously, if you're a legitimate business, you adhere to a certain code of ethics. But you've got a lot of bad actors out there who
some
clog machines.
Some do, some don't.
Right. We still get, even at Cato, we still get a lot of junk faxes on the machine on the floor I'm on. But the point here is simply a basically it centers around the existing business relationship. You know, faxing is an important communications tool.
But less than it used to be.
That's exactly right. It's an important communications tool, and it's used for a lot of the ones who really need it or rely on it are organizations, whether they're nonprofit or nonprofit, that depend on memberships, and they have lots and lots of clients that they stay in touch with.
Well,
their membership dues, their conference notices.
Some people still haven't graduated to email. They're still using faxes.
That's true.
But I will tell you, it's more of a. It's less of an important utility for us, and it's really now just more of something we use from time to time rather than all the time. But anyway, we're going to come back and have some more lively discussion with our good friend Wayne Cruz with the Cato Institute. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Wayne Cruz, Director of Technology Studies at the Cato Institute. Wayne, tell us about the Cato Institute.
Cato, as you know, is a free market public policy organization. We just had our 26th year. You were up for our 25th.
Yeah.
We've got folks working all probably the full range of public policy issues. We've got a Social Security reform project. I do technology policy.
Right. Mike Tanner heads up the Social Security.
That's right. We've got tax and budget area, healthcare.
Adam Thierer over at the telecommunications
side. Adam doing telecommunications.
Side.
I know you had him recently, y'all debating the media monopoly rules and things of that sort. Jim, we work the whole range of policy issues. We've got the foreign policy staff, trade staff, and I learned about Cato about 15 years ago, I guess, and then gradually made my way up to Washington, and that's where I landed.
And it's cato.org, folks, C-A-T-O.
Cato.org. You can find our policy studies. There are a number of free newsletters that you can subscribe to, and it's a lot of really good information.
And if you like the free market things that they have to say, folks, I know they'll be glad to have any support that you can give them. You can find out about that on the website, but you don't have to do that to benefit from the things that they say, and that they publish, like the things that Wayne works on. Wayne, back on the fax spam issue, This is an example, like regular email spam,
mm-hmm.
where a good thing turned bad, where people just took advantage. And but again, I want to come back to this. I mean, this is an area that small business owners need to point that finger right back at ourselves, because this was an area that we actually had more of an ability to reach out and touch people, and we thought, wow, this is cool. We don't have to mail our direct mail piece to people, and cost us the printing and the delay and the postage. We'll just fax it to them. And maybe in the beginning, you know, people thought it was cool, but once it starts costing you $40-$50 a month for paper and and the ink and the wear and tear on the fax machine,
it causes a commons problem, kind of just like internet spam. I mean, the cost that you face in sending the notice or the message can tend to get imposed on other people. I think, but you're right. The importance of spam in the new, of the importance of faxing in the new internet age is way down. But I do say that and you have to remember, Jim. It's even with email, even in the internet age, we still just hit the point where 50% of the public even has computers in their homes.
Right.
So there's still, and in businesses, there's still a lot of practical use for fax. My only point here is that for those businesses who rely on faxes for whatever reason, so you've got membership lists you use, you send out coupons, and I'm talking about on a legitimate ongoing basis, mm-hmm. where it's, you know, kind of integrated into your business.
Mm-hmm.
What's being done with the new rules is to eliminate that existing business relationship exemption, and with a written notice would be required. In fact, one item I'd come across was that if a person telephoned an association, a small business association, say, and asked to be faxed a membership application or registration,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't do it. You'd be violating these new rules.
Unless they faxed you. Wait a minute. Let me see if I got this straight.
Yep, they can fax it.
Wait a minute. Could they really fax you their approval if you haven't given them approval to fax you that approval?
In their case, it wouldn't be a business solicitation.
I thought maybe what was going to have to happen is somebody was going to have to drive across town and hand deliver an approval and then run back and get the fax.
Well, I don't think it's that bad, but boy, it's getting close. But you see what I mean? That's the alarm bell I'm raising today. That's what I'm saying. You know, to the extent faxing is still useful,
yeah, uh-huh.
and that you rely on it, it can. This new rule, if they decide to go after you for a violation of it, can really, really cause some problems.
Well, what would cause them to go after you? If somebody would have to complain, right?
Somebody would complain, and given that the way the rules are set up, a private lawsuit would be $500 per violation, and they would treble that penalty. It looks
who would collect the money? Would the complainer collect the money, or would this go to the government?
That I don't know. It's FCC enforcement. FCC could collect some. The state could collect some. There is a private lawsuit available. I don't know how much of that the person would get.
Well, see, the folks, the reason this is important to point out is, I mean, some of you who are listening are breaking out in a cold sweat right now because you realize that you've got an automated fax system going out, sending photographs of a trip to the Bahamas with all the pictures, and if they'll buy your potatoes or your car or whatever it is that you sell, and what's happening is there's also somebody receiving your fax today who's listening to the show, and they're thinking, maybe I'll make some money. So you need to check your position on this.
Well, that's the whole point of discussing it. Anytime you have a regulation, especially of a communications technology, I've found, just given, you know, all the range of issues that Adam and I are working on, you can have unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't want to make some of the same mistakes with spam. What we want to do is come up with ways of charging senders for email and authenticating senders. That's the ultimate solution in that regard. I hope we can do it earlier rather than later.
Let me ask you a question. Can they go to fcc.gov and find out about the, or is it org?
You can go to fcc.gov and find out
more about that.
There will be
Wayne,
some
gotta
links
go.
There.
Thanks, man.
Jim, I appreciate it.
See
Thanks
you next
much.
Time.
My pleasure. Okay.
Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.